And as I was waking up this morning thinking about what is it that the Lord would have me to say, and I thought about deja vu, something that happens, and when it happens, it seemed like we've seen it before, it happened before, and we wonder why are we in that same situation. So this morning, it took me to the story of David. And we all know the story of David and Goliath. We know about the little boy, the little shepherd boy delivering lunch to his brothers. And King Saul and all the soldiers and everybody that's around are scared of Goliath. But this little boy with his five little stones slay this nasty giant with a slingshot. So there we have it. The end of the story, right? We package it and we make it nice and neat. And I remember going back in school and they would have all of these novels and all of these books they wanted us to read. And instead of reading it, we would go get these things called Cliff Notes. And the Cliff Notes would summarize the book that we were supposed to be reading. And it would provide us with the theme and the main points of the subject. And many times we like to cliff note the Bible. We pick these nice little neat things and clean spots and tie up the story of all of our biblical heroes. We portray these to our kids. We portray these to the saints. We portray them to each other. But when we do that, we do a great disservice when we portray the characters of the Bible in these little neat little stories. When we look at somebody like Jonah, we say, well, you know, Jonah, he was in the whale and he came out of the whale and then he went and he preached and saved the city. But we don't look at the end of the story where Jonah is pouting underneath a tree, mad with God. We look at the prophet Elijah on Mount Carmel and the great victory he had over all the false prophet of Baal. But then later on, we don't really talk about Elijah being under a suicide watch under a tree. We talk about Moses saying, let my people go, part in the Red Sea. But we don't talk about him killing an Egyptian. We talk about Abraham climbing the mountain, having so much great faith to sacrifice his son Isaac. But we don't talk about him lying about his wife being his sister. Not once, but twice. You see, when we always sugarcoat the lives of these people, it makes others believe that our life has got to be so perfect in order to be a child of God. It makes them think that they got to lead a life where failures and struggles don't exist. It makes them believe that if they don't lead this perfect life, that they're immature and weak. But I'm here to tell you this morning that this is the beauty of God's word. God's word is full of humans. It's full of regular people just like you and me. You see, people like us are regular people. And over many years of our lives, when we thought that we didn't win, we really did win. Satan might have thought that he gained ground in our testimonies, but we continue to fight back against Satan because he cannot gain any ground. You see, this story about David by the creek with Goliath when he slayed him, that wasn't the end of the story, because when you read a little further, you see where he decapitates Goliath. And then he marches into the city with the head of Goliath in his hand. But that wasn't the end of the story, because there's more. In fact, when you read in the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel, it will reveal a whole nother side of the story of David. At this point in time, David was probably having another deja vu moment. You see, David was in a situation that he had been in before. So if you will, turn to me to 2 Samuel, the 21st chapter, verses 15 to 22. And it reads as thus. Once again, there was a battle between the Philistines and Israel. David went down with his men to fight against the Philistines, and he became exhausted. And Ishbi-Benob, one of the descendants of Rapha, whose bronze spearhead weighed 300 shekels and who was armed with a new sword, said he would kill David. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue, and he struck the Philistine down and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, saying, "Never again will you go out with us to battle, so that the camp of Israel will not be extinguished." In the course of time, there was another battle with the Philistines at Gob. At that time, Sibaki, the Hushonite, killed Sap, one of the descendants of Rapha. In another battle with the Philistines at Gob, Elhana, son of Jar, the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, who had a spear with a shaft like a weaver's rod. In still another battle, which took place at Gath, there was a huge man with six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in all. He was also descended from Rapha. When he taunted Israel, Jonathan, son of Shema, David's brother, killed him. These four were descendants of Rapha in Gath, and they fell at the hands of David and his men. I want us to see two things here. First, who is Israel and the King David fighting? They're fighting against the Philistines. I want to know for David, did that ring any doorbells from his childhood? Who was Goliath? Goliath was a Philistine. What does it say what was happening to David? And why has David become weary? Now, David might be weary because he's human, just like you and I. He's weary because it seems like he's been through the ringer and through a difficult series of an unpleasant experience. If you follow David's life as he goes through 2 Samuel, you see that David has been through some things. You see, in 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter and the 6th verse, it reads that the king and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites who lived there. And the Jebusites said to David, "You will not get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off." You see, David was charged with taking Jerusalem back, and those that were occupying the place said, "You'll never get in here." That the blind and lame would keep them from taking the city. But after centuries of failure by various tribes and people of God, David finally overcame the Jebusites and took the city. But when he was getting ready to go there, he was warned, "You'll never be able to get in here." I don't know if you've ever been insulted where somebody told you the blind and lame people can beat you. But David was insulted because the Jebusites said, "The blind and the lame will repel you." Now, they said this because they realized that they was in a position that it would be difficult for David to do it. But nevertheless, David and his men took the city. As a matter of fact, when you get to the next verse, they talk about water, and there's a water shaft that is being mentioned. So we think, and some seem to think, that David sent his men through the water through something called Warren's shaft. But whatever the tactic David used, his men persisted through a difficult circumstance to defeat and overcome a confident enemy. Now, I just need to stop right there because I want you to know that the enemy is very confident against you. And even though he is confident and sometimes overconfident, God will see you through the victory. Amen? Using the same principle, when you go up against strongholds in your life, when Jesus Christ becomes your King, your Lord, and your Savior, you'll be able to overcome all of the things that the overconfident enemy thinks and says to you that you can't overcome. And why is this? It's because that what is impossible to man is possible through Jesus Christ. David had further situations in his life where the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the city, but that Ark of the Covenant wasn't brought into the city without death. You see, Uzzah, who was brought and told to help bring the Ark of the Covenant into the city, was disobedient. And he touched this Ark where God said it was not to be touched. Don't you know that anytime God tells us not to do something and we're disobedient, there's a price to pay? And then you read later on in chapter 6, when he finally does get the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, David is ready to worship. David is ready to pray. David is ready to have a party. And when he throws his party by himself, amen, his wife tries to throw a wrench into his party. She calls him out for dancing. Are there times in your life that you feel like dancing and you feel like having a party and somebody wants to throw a wrench into your party and call you out for dancing? Then we further go on and we see the situation with Bathsheba, where David is plunged into the depths of adultery, murder, deception, and even the death of his infant child. Now, I want you to know when I talk about the life of David, I'm only getting warmed up here. But it's just to show you that the man that the Bible calls the man after God's own heart had so many situations, so many obstacles, so many things that he had to overcome. So when you look at this and we read the scripture, is there any reason in 2 Samuel, the 21st chapter, why David is weary? He's weary because he is getting ready to fight giants again. And in this scene, David is facing these Philistines, and he's probably thinking, deja vu. Haven't I seen this somewhere before? All the constant battles, all the fights that he had with the Philistines, David is tired and worn out. And I want to know this morning, maybe there's somebody out there this morning, you're tired and you're worn out. You see, when you're tired and you're worn out, it's a dangerous zone for the people of God. Because we are facing an enemy that we thought that we have already beaten. You know, when you're tired and you're worn out and you think that I got to go through this again. But I want you to know that that's a trick of the enemy. Amen? Because you see, when the Bible says that there was one who pointed David out and said that the spear that he had, the head of his spear, weighed 300 shekels. Well, that means that 100 shekels is 2.5 pounds. So the spearhead was over 7.5 pounds And he pointed out that he wanted to kill David. This giant didn't just have the spearhead, but he also had a new sword as well. But the Bible says that Ashbishah, the son of Zerulah, came to David's rescue, and he struck the Philistine down and killed him. Amen? And I could see David wiping his head off saying, wow, that was close. But then there was another time. It says, in the course of time, there was another battle against the Philistines. So here's David, deja vu, having to face the same enemy over again. You see, in this battle of life that we have to go through, that sometimes it seems like we're fighting this same battle over and over again. But when you look at the genealogy of those giants that David was fighting, they were relatives of Goliath. Amen? So it's not that David didn't win the battle over Goliath, because he did. But it's relatives of the giant coming back over and over again. And I say that sometimes in our lives, it seems like we're going through a battle. Amen? And we didn't win the battle, but we did win the battle. But it's something different that we're facing. In fact, three of these giants were Goliath's own children. And one of them was the brother of Goliath. So here we go today. Here we go again. Let's jump to where we are in the battles that we're fighting. In your battle against sickness, in your battles against oppression, in your battle or some other struggle that you have, you seek God's deliverance, and in some degree, we experience a healing. We experience a breakthrough. We find a new freedom that enters in our lives. Sometimes it's a word of encouragement from somebody. Other times it's through prayer. But somehow through God's grace, we're able to find the 5 smooth stones that we need to slay the giant in our lives. Amen? But then again, maybe in a couple of weeks, maybe in a couple of months, maybe at some time down the road, maybe a few years from now, it appears that that giant shows up again. In fact, we, just like David, say deja vu. It looks like we got to fight this same giant again. And when they come back, that giant appears to be stronger than it was before. That depression appears to be deeper than it was before. The discouragement that we face appears more discouraging than it was before. The physical discomfort that we might have is a little more discomforting than it was before. The spiritual dryness that we have appears to be drier than it was before. The emotional fatigue that we might have feels a little more tiring than it was before. And at that point, it seems like all the progress that we once had, that we once made, is gone. And we appear to be right back where we started again. I want to tell you this morning, you're not right back where you started again. You're not right back where you started before. And when you get to this cycle, when you go through those things, I want you to know that there's nothing to be ashamed of, because the enemy loves to use shame against a person to make you feel like you made no improvements, that you didn't get anywhere, that you haven't made any, you haven't gone further than you did before. I'd be the first to raise my hand, and I'd be the first to raise it high and to make it clear that sometimes we experience these negative setbacks and it seems like deja vu all over again. But the next time we see that enemy, and the next time you see that enemy, I want you to know that that battle that you fight is not the same battle. When you come face to face with that challenge, the one that you have already defeated in your life, the one that you already thought that you defeated in your life, the time that you meet it the second time, when you believe that you're meeting it the third time or the fourth time, each time that you face it, there's an anticipation and the enemy places a seed that you don't have the power to defeat it. And we start saying things like, oh no, here we go with that again. And you start to doubt the power of God, and you start saying, I don't even want to be bothered with this anymore. You start saying things like, you know what? I tried this, or I tried that. I'm tired. Forget about it. Sometimes you even use your own mouth and you repeat words that say, I just can't win. I want you to realize this morning that your words have power. And this is so important because when we follow through with David's life, we see that no matter what it is, he boldly turns around and he don't become paralyzed by a spirit of passivity. We have seen him get discouraged, yes. We have seen him get weary, yes. We have seen him experience challenges that have to be explored, yes. We have seen him come face to face with the failures of his past. We have seen him go through, but we have never seen him say, I quit. And this is what I'm saying to you and my message to you this morning. Don't quit, even though it seems like it's the same thing. It's not. Don't quit. We know that the things that David has been through is more than much more than any one person should have to face. But here he is again facing those giants. And I want you to know this morning that as you go through life, if you live long enough, you're going to face giants again. So I want to put into this sermon this morning and leave you with a few thoughts and some reflections about spiritual reflections and seemingly having to repeat battles again. The first thing that I want you to know and to be sure to understand is just because it looks like the same battle from the past, don't assume that it is. The giants that David were facing were relatives. Some of the demons that you face are not the same demon, but you're facing the relatives and the friends of that demon. Somebody say hallelujah. They probably look the same. They probably got the same size. They look like Goliath. Those demons smell like Goliath. Those demons behave like Goliath. They are just as ugly as Goliath. But I want to say right now, don't let the enemy play a trick on your mind, because it's not the same demon. Because when Christ brings you through something, God, and you conquer something, you have conquered it. It's not the same. The devil wants to make it look like the same, so you'll feel like you were defeated because you never conquered it. It's a different day. It's a different time. It's a different enemy. It might look the same, but it's not. And that's why it's so important that we learn to differentiate between the battles that we fight. Aren't you a different person than you were before? Didn't you grow from the things that you learned from the past? Didn't you change? Didn't something different happen in your life? Because you changed, the enemy cannot attack you the same way. It might look the same. Just because it looks like the same battle from the past, don't assume that you wasn't victorious. You see how these two things go together? If Satan can convince us that this is the same battle, it means that we never won in the first place. So any victory that you might have experienced 5 years ago, 5 months ago, 5 days ago, if he convinced you that you never won that fight, you're going to feel defeated. If Satan can convince us that we never won that fight, then he robs you of the victory that you well deserved. if Satan can convince you that you never won that fight. That means he can rob you of the freedom that you experienced by winning that fight. If Satan can convince you that you didn't win that fight, he can convince you that God didn't work in your life. In our spiritual lives, we're going to face battles. But in those battles, don't let Satan rob you of victories because he brings something similar besides you, convincing you that you never won. Satan is a liar. Satan uses deceitful tactics to try to convince you that you were not victorious. How about another one? Just because it looks like the same battle from the past, don't assume that complete victory is not possible. And I don't know how to say this that's going to bring about a change in your life. And I often hear language, and I often see gestures, and I often read emails and texts that suggest that we have given up in various areas of our life because complete victory just doesn't seem like it's a viable option. It doesn't seem like it can happen for us anymore. Maybe it happens for that person over there, but it's not going to happen for me. Maybe it's going to happen for my cousin, but it's not going to happen for me. Maybe it's going to happen for my brother, but it's not going to happen for me. I want you to understand that we all have the same standing with Jesus Christ. We all have the same standing with God, that we are his children. The same victories that he wants to give me are the same victories he wants to give you. I can be honest with you. Can you find a place of struggle that you are really honest with yourself and you can say, I pretty much given up on winning that battle? That it is what it is. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your neighbor. Whatever it is, you might have had a victory. A partial victory followed by setbacks. But I want you to know that if you have a partial victory and you have setbacks, don't settle. Because I know that the struggle is real. But when you give up, you give in. When you look at your past and you figure on the failure, you don't figure on the victory. You have to look at your life and see the victories that you have won. Satan doesn't want you to look at the victories. But God is telling you today in his word that total victory can be yours. When times that you get discouraged and you wonder what? There are times that you sit around and you wonder and you go from wondering to pondering. In those times, you need to understand that you should never look to God. You should never look to Jesus Christ and assume that anything other than complete victory is possible. Don't you know that you are defeating yourself when you look to God and you look to Jesus Christ and you don't take the mantle that they have given you? When Jesus Christ died on that cross and rose again, don't you know that that was total victory over the enemy? Don't you know that the Bible says that when God does something in you, he says that he who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. God doesn't start something that he doesn't complete. I don't care how many times you got to face the giant. I don't care how similar the giants are. I don't care how many giants you've slain. Don't waver from the truth of the word of God. Don't waver from his promises. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Remember that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Don't forget that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open upon their cry. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of them all of their troubles. We are reminded that we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. So we say boldly, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. What about you this morning? Do you still believe that complete victory in your life is possible? Do you still believe that complete freedom, complete healing, complete wholeness is possible in your life, in your life today? You have to believe that those things are possible. But don't demand that God do it today. He can do it today, but he does it in his own time. We don't have the authority to set the timetable for God. But all we need to know is that all things are possible with God. I want to know today, do you still believe that it's possible? And I got one more thing. Just because it looks like the same battle from the past. Oh, it looks the same. It smells the same. Maybe even some of the characters might still be the same. Never assume that you have to fight this battle alone. You see, because things do change. When David was just a boy and he wandered down that old creek and he picked up those stones, when he went to fight Goliath, who went with David to fight against Goliath? Nobody. David went alone. And there are times in our lives where we feel that we have to fight some battles. And it seemed like there was nobody beside us. You see, but when David went down physically alone, spiritually, God was with him. And I know if David looked around, it would have been nice that as he was going to go face Goliath, that if his brothers who was there had came out and said, brother, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to be by your side. I'm going to walk you down there to fight this giant Goliath. It would have been nice for them to be there, but they didn't do that. It would have been nice for some of David's friends, you know, that he hung out with when he wasn't shepherding. Some of them schoolmates, some of them classmates, to say, David, I'm going to go down there with you. It would have been nice if they went down with him. It would have been nice if King Saul, instead of just taking off his armor and giving it to him, if he would have said, David, I'm going to walk you down to fight Goliath. I'm going to lock arms with you. I'm going to be ready to fight with you. I'm going to join you in the fight. But that didn't happen. David had to go it alone. How many of us have been there this morning? So many times we're going through the battles in our lives and situations, and we feel so all alone, and we wish that our mother or our father, our sister or our brother was there to walk down that aisle and fight with us, to just be by our side. That maybe even sometimes your children, if they were there to go down this battle with you that you have to fight, and you feel alone. Because when you look around, hallelujah, when you look around, there's nobody there with you. But David was never alone. Because when you call on your God, when you call on your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're never alone. As a matter of fact, as a child of God, you always go into battle with three others with you. You have the Father, you have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you right now, victory is already yours. You don't have to doubt that you're going to be victorious. Victory is already yours. David was not alone. It looked like the same battles. Looked like the same enemies. When you navigate through the battlefields of your life, you don't have to fight these battles alone. Have you ever wished that you could call somebody to come and fight your battle? Did you ever wish that you could just throw your hand up in the air and don't worry about it? Somebody to come fight your battle? Have you ever wanted to just give it up and turn it loose, knowing that somebody else is going to be able to fight your battles? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5 and 7 to cast all our cares on him, for he careth for us. Because you can do that. His name is Jehovah Sabaoth. He is the Lord of hosts on your side. He is the Almighty. He is the sovereign God. He is the self-existent God over everything, over all the multitudes. He's the God over the sun and the moon, the stars. He's the God over creation itself. There is nothing he cannot do. There's nothing he don't know. There is nothing that he cannot control. There's no enemy he can't defeat. There's no heart he can't heal. There's no illness he can't make well. There's no mouth he cannot shut. There's no miracle that he cannot perform. This Jehovah Sabaoth, he longs to be in your life. He longs to work on your behalf, the Lord of hosts. So I ask you this morning, what battle, what battles have you been trying to fight on your own? Why don't you call upon the Lord of hosts to do what only he can do? Why don't you call on the Lord of hosts to help you in your circumstance? Why don't you call on the Lord of hosts who has already defeated the enemy? I want to say to you this morning that in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whatever it is that you're going through, there is no habit, there's no illness, there's no sickness, there's no circumstance, there's no situation, there's nothing deeper or is so deep that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ can't go deeper and cleanse it out of you. Cleanse it from around you and stop it from happening. There's no entrenchment in sin that the enemy has you in that the Lord, that the power of Jesus Christ cannot free you from. Deja vu. You're looking at a cycle and you're saying, I've seen this before and I cannot get out of it. I'm here to tell you this morning that the cycle can be broken right now. I want to say to you this morning that whatever it is, whatever stronghold that the enemy has you under, it can be broken today by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to say to you today, whatever you feel is hopeless, there is hope in Jesus Christ. But you must allow him and you must let him. So wherever you are this morning, I urge you and I encourage you today to open up your heart, open up your mind, open up your body, your soul to receive him and know that he is working in your favor. For some of you who've lost hope, there is hope in Christ. For some of you who believe that God is not working in your behalf, give him time to work in your behalf. God is willing and God is able this morning. Why don't you let him? If you don't know Christ this morning, you don't have a relationship with him, you can start this relationship with him this morning. You can start right now. He's a right now God. Whatever situation you're going through, just cast it. Get rid of it. Don't carry it around any longer. Starting today, starting right now. So I'm going to pray with you this morning, and I'm going to ask the Lord to touch you. And if you are wherever you are, bow your head, close your eyes, drop some tears. Release those feelings. Let it go out into the atmosphere. Tell those demons that not today, Lord. Not today, demons. You cannot bother me. Today is not your day. So, Father, as we come to you in the matchless, mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we give you praise and we give you honor, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for sending your son, Jesus Christ. Father, we honor you today, Lord, because you, Lord, are over everything, over creation itself. And we say to you, Father, Lord, I want to have a relationship with you, Father, where I understand that you are my God, that you are my daddy, you are my father. And Lord, maybe the father that I never had, that you, Lord, will fill in the gaps for me. Lord, the questions that I want to ask, the counseling that I need, Lord, the person that I can turn to, Lord, I need that relationship with you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you to come into my life because I am a sinner, Lord, and I believe that you were crucified and you died on the cross and that you rose the third day. And because you did that, that you conquered everything in creation that the enemy believes he has power over. But Lord, you demonstrated on that day, at that time, in that moment, that you are more powerful than him. And there's nothing, there's no stronghold that is underneath the feet of the enemy that you can't crush. So I thank you today, Lord, and I receive you into my heart. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you because of the power of the blood that you shed. That because of the power of that blood, that circumstances and situations right now in the name of Jesus can be turned around, that the illnesses can be healed. And I pray today, Lord, because I know that there's walking wounded right now, Father, that the enemy has tried to subdue their bodies. But Lord, he might be trying to subdue their bodies. I pray in the name of Jesus, he cannot subdue their minds. Because Father, it is by the power, by your mind, by our minds and our spirits to believe and have faith that you're going to work things out for us, that we're defeating the enemy right now. God, we don't know if it's today or if it's tomorrow, but Lord, in our minds and in our spirits, we believe, Lord, that we shall walk, that we shall run, that we shall fly, we shall soar as eagles in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask you to look upon situations right now, Lord, in the lives of relationships and marriages in the name of Jesus. Lord, where it seems impossible that reconciliation is even a consideration. But Lord, you can change our ways. You can change our thoughts. Father, where the enemy is placing no hope, discouragement, distrust, that Father, you can turn things around. Because you can turn individuals around. You can turn hearts and mindsets around in the name of Jesus. Lord, you just ask that we hold on to your unchanging hands. And Father, I ask that somebody today that want to let go, that they grab hold of your hand again. And Lord, I ask you to look upon this city. I ask you to look upon the young people that are out there today, Lord. I pray for the parents that are watching over their children, Lord, that are watching over their grandchildren, that refuse to give up, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they hold on to your unchanging hands. I pray, Lord, that they just continue to pray and place those children under your care. Because, Father, what we can't do, you can. I pray, Lord, for those who feel that in this economy that there's no hope for them to find a job, that there's no hope for them to go to school and get their education, that there's no hope for them to go be moved beyond what they see right in front of them right now. Lord, that you're a God of miracle, that you're a miracle-working God. And because, God, you're working behind the scenes and the things that you're working on that we don't see it right now. But if we hold on, we'll see, God, eventually, that you were working for the good of us and working in our behalf. I pray, Lord, that they don't lose hope and lose faith. It is not deja vu all over again, Lord. It is a different time and it is a different season. And I believe, God, that you're calling us to high heights, that you're calling us to do new things. I believe, God, that you saying to us today that if we look at things the way that they were, that we'll never be able to get to where you want us to get to. I'm praying, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you tell us to look through the eyes that you want us to see with, to see the things that you're doing today, Lord, that 6-7 months ago were unthinkable. But God, in the new season, you give us new tools, you give us new blessings. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray in the name of Jesus for us to remain faithful, knowing, Lord, that we can do all things through Christ, who continues to give us the strength to continue to go further than we ever thought that we could do before, to give us the strength that we can do further, do more things, that all things are possible. Because God, with you, all things are possible. And the Christ in me makes it possible for me. And the Christ in you will make it possible for you to do all things that God had put before your place. So we thank you right now, Lord. And we give you praise and we give you honor. We say hallelujah to your name, and we bless you in Jesus' mighty name.